Welcome back, everybody. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Austin, and we're going to get into it this week, you guys. There's some local stuff we can talk about, and there's also some deeper stuff I want to get into, specifically around our culture and our community here, and the word culture kind of gets thrown around pretty, I think, like willy-nilly when we talk about the 2A space, the overall preparedness ecosystem, if you will. I really like that term for kind of describing and defining what it is we all do when we interact together, pretty much because we become or seem to have become, right, over time, right, less and less of a community, basically. And we're going to get into a lot of that in this discussion, really, because when you think about it, a community is a group of individuals that lifts each other up and works together to achieve common goals and for common successes. We in our ecosystem, we really are not much of a community. There are communities within the overall, but I would not say as a whole we're what I would define as a community, because we eat too many of our own. It's something that if you sit back and you think about it, you know, it goes further than everyone just having their own respective representation of how they hold these values and practices and lifestyle and everything. It goes deeper than that, because if it was just a live and let live kind of situation, you know, then man, we would probably, things would just be different. You know, things would just be different. We'd have more respect for each other. It'd be a way smaller comment threads on Instagram and YouTube and stuff, because a lot of those fights and, you know, quote unquote, manly discussions or real adult discussions, as some people might define them, they don't really serve a positive goal in the end, other than just to prove that one person is right and the other person thus must be wrong, rather than acknowledging that, as in most instances, like, both parties can be right, and to some degree both parties will be wrong. It's, you know, that is a cultural trait that this ecosystem, or if you like the word community, right, this community has. And I think that there's some things we can get into here. There's some things we can talk about. There's some stuff that really rubs me the wrong way that, and you guys know when this stuff gets to me, I share it with all of you. And then hopefully, you know, either you really disagree with it and you send me a message and we talk about it, or you guys really agree, and then maybe that's just one step closer to maybe getting some things fixed, getting some things solved. But had an interesting situation arise here locally to me in the Southeast Michigan area over the weekend. And this is, I just want to throw this out there because I was reading on it, and this kind of stuff really starts to wear on my nerves, I guess, is the phrase I will use. I'm not upset by it so much. Well, parts of it I am not upset by. So getting into this, Warren Mott High School here in Southeast Michigan. Warren Mott is a high school, you know, where I went to school. We played against them in some sports. They're not in the district I was in or where I'm in now, but they're not too far, about 20 minutes-ish from where I live. So they had their homecoming dance. A lot of you guys, you know, you went through high school. Some of you went, some of you guys were homeschooled. Maybe you don't know, but a lot of you guys know about homecoming, right? Homecoming football game, the dance and everything, you know, the magic, the wonder of it all. I mean, I don't know that shit because I skipped my senior year homecoming. Actually, I skipped all of the homecomings, but I skipped my senior year homecoming to go work for my aunt. And I wound up making like $100. And with that money, I turned that into like paying an audition fee to go do Winter Drumline. You guys have heard about my musical past and things here, but I was 17 at the time. Went and like cleaned her house, cleaned her whole backyard and everything, did the windows, like all kinds of stuff. God rest her soul. And that, it was like a defining point in my life, because that money opened up what ended up being like the next 6 years of my life, which even opened past that to like the next 15 years of my life, where I was teaching on a regular basis. And it was just a huge, like one of those moments in life, right, where things can pivot and go one way or go the other. So at any rate, I never went to any of the homecoming dances. It wasn't my thing. But what happened here, and why this is relevant to our discussion, short of me going down memory lane, is because there was balloons popping, right, which some people on site or around the area apparently interpreted as gunfire. Now, living in 2024 America, that led to a high number of misinformed communications, phone calls, internet posts to law enforcement in Warren, who showed up obviously following procedure, showed up very quickly. And in given that you're talking about a school dance with a lot of children and not a ton of adults, right? So a large police response, evacuate the building for safety, you know, because you have to make sure that's what our law enforcement officers are there for and everything. They did determine there was no threat. And then coming out of this, because of the quote unquote crisis response, right? Because our, you know, local law enforcement showed up quickly. They showed up in large mass. They did their jobs well by all indications and estimations, right? Change.org, there was a petition that showed up on there to cancel school for Monday because of this crisis response, because of, I guess, the impact to the kids, which I don't know if that happened or not, but lo and behold, that led to a real threat being posted online towards the school, which did lead to an overall cancellation of activities and classes. And it's just something I want to call out, because this, if we're talking culture, guys, like, this is becoming way too much a thing in America these days. And what, and I don't believe that they've figured it out yet, but what will probably end up coming to the surface is this was probably a kid who didn't want to go to school and is too stupid to realize that you always get caught in this day and age. And they went ahead and made a threat against the school to give them a singular day off. And honestly, with this only really probably adding to the, you know, what I can assume is the trauma of this whole experience. Right. So cool to see that the law enforcement response to that was, you know, well measured. Hey, they were there quickly. They were there in a large number. It's kind of silly that we are so sensitive to things like this that balloons get mistaken as gunfire, and not even just by one or two people, but by a large mass of, I assume, adults or young adults, that then they start calling in, you know, law enforcement and things like that, and we have this. You know, less than measured response to what could, I mean, but that's, you know, as I'm saying that, I'm just thinking, like, you can't take chances with that in 2024. You just can't, because the one time you do, it turns into something that, you know, we'd all rather it not. So, man, I mean, I think just culturally, this is one of the battles that we have to overcome. And I'm going to get into this part of things, later on in the discussion, maybe even at the beginning of the discussion. But really, one of the things we need to tackle is that we see these kinds of things in the news, and everyone links this back to gun ownership, because if this had actually been a mass shooter incident, you know, how bad would that have been? It would have been terrible. It would have been just, aside from, like, loss of life, you know, how many homecoming dances get canceled across the area. There's the ripple effect, right? It's very wide and very powerful. So, hopefully that's, you know, doesn't, I don't know, hopefully it doesn't lead to anything, right? I mean, I hope nobody follows suit and does something similar as a prank at their homecoming to try and mock this or imitate this. And Lord willing, I hope everybody has a, you know, safe and enjoyable homecoming season. But at any rate, we're going to get into culture, the clashes within our culture. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it. We're going to cut it up, because it's something that is constantly evolving. You know, when we look at just regular life in general, culture is a huge thing, not even just here in the United States, across the world, obviously. And you look at different pieces of culture within a culture. So, I mean, the United States used to be a great example of this, because it was a lot of different cultures coming together and living harmoniously. Now we have an open southern border, which has led to less than harmonious existence between some separate and different cultures kind of being mixed together, not of their own free will, and definitely not legally. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about a lot of that stuff. But first, you guys, this is a sponsored podcast. Prepared Mindset partners with some outstanding companies that provide some great services, some fantastic goods. So if you guys are looking to get into gear, if there's something on your individual preparedness journey, or maybe something that, you know, you see online a lot, you wonder if this is something you want, something that you need. These are some companies that are not only going to be able to sell you some great goods, but they're also going to be able to answer questions. They're also going to be able to help you so that you make a well-informed decision. They're not just one of those, you know, companies out there looking to grab a buck, make their money off of you, and then, you know, kick you to the curb because now you've kind of used up your usefulness to them. We partner with some tremendous companies that are really invested in the community, the culture. They're invested in helping their fellow man be better prepared than they were when they had originally begun their interaction. And I want to say thank you to those partners. And we're going to start with Custom Night Vision. You guys, the website is customnightvision.com. And night vision is a superpower, you guys. That there's really, you know, I hate saying it that way, but it's the best way to convey the message. You can see in the dark. When we were out in Pennsylvania the other weekend for the HTA event, man, and we didn't have any of that light pollution, and you could just look up and see the stars. You can flip on your IR illuminator. You can see in the dark. It's like the superpower that you can buy. In fact, maybe the only one that you can buy. And customnightvision.com is your one-stop shop to answer your questions, to see what's out there, to see what's available, and also to, you know, if you're ready to do it, make the purchase. And if you have questions, it's fantastic. It's great. The goal, the mission at Custom is to provide the most transparent buying experience possible so that when you guys go drop your thousands of dollars on your either your PVS-14, your single tubes setup, or maybe something like some DTNVSs or an MH1 from Lowlight Innovations, right, that you guys are absolutely happy, you absolutely know what you are walking into, and you have zero regrets from that interaction. So whether it is a single tube PVS-14 with green phosphor or white phosphor, it doesn't matter, right? Elbit, L3, Photonis. And if you don't know what this means, you guys, head on over to the website, do yourself a favor, drop into the chat window that's pinned, I believe it's the bottom right of the screen, and send a message over to the crew at Custom. So whether it's Kevin or Ben or Trevor or whomever you guys get to talk to over there, shoot them a message and ask them the questions. If you're wanting to do this, if you're wanting to make let's be honest, a very substantial financial commitment in your life towards your individual preparedness, customnightvision.com, great site, great folks over there. They will be able to answer all of your questions. So, hey, what should I really be looking for? Am I really going to notice a huge performance difference between white phosphor or green phosphor? Does Elbit versus L3? Everyone online says that you're definitely going to tell. Is that true? All that stuff and more, you guys. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Head on over and check it out for yourselves. Also want to say a very big thank you to 100 Concepts. And if you guys have been watching your email newsletters, I'm so excited I can finally talk about this because I've known about it for a few weeks. They are getting ready to drop some new products, one of which is going to be very, very exciting. If you are checking out the Custom Night Vision website, is their Night Vision Cap. They just teased it Thursday this week. They'll be dropping information on that on their website. It's 100concepts.com. And while you're at the website, when you're checking out those night vision caps, you can check out the entire catalog of great products that they have to help you guys solve some very, very common problems that we all run into out in the field. So whether that's their ruggedized light cap, that's their chem light kit. We used the chem lights when we were out at HTA on the range for the night vision shoot, which fantastic solution for that. Scope caps, hex caps, anti-reflective devices. I had my brother reach out to me, you know, trying to build out a rifle. Do I need anti-reflective? Do I need this? Do I need that? 100concepts.com has a lot of great solutions for you guys, and they are a fantastic, fantastic company that listens to all of their customers. Can't recommend them enough. Jonah, Garrett, Pierce, the whole crew over there, a bunch of fantastic dudes, great gentlemen, all of them, and true, true American patriots. Lastly, but not least here, want to say thank you to our friends over at RMA Armor. So the website is rmadefense.com, and you can check out that website, you guys. They even set up the discount code for all of y'all, Prepared Mindset 5. That's going to save you 5% off your order when you go check out the RMA website. So if you're looking for some super lightweight 3A plus armor plates like what I'm running, they're multi-curve, they're 2.5 pounds a piece, fantastic solution. Or if you want maximum protection, if you think that you need level 4 protection because you just want to be as prepared as possible because you don't know what you're going to encounter, that's great. They have sales going all the time on their level 4 plates, and these are very reliable American-made armor plates, you guys. There's not issues with, you know, does it pass the NIJ testing? Does it not? Do we flip back and forth and back and forth? Do we really know, you know, the country of origin and where this was manufactured? Guys, RMA is a well-recognized brand. They're literally the king of armor, and it's not going to break the bank either. Like some companies are out there selling you a pair of plates for thousands and thousands of dollars. Again, it's armadefense.com, discount code PreparedMindset5 to save you guys some cash when you go pick up your armor for yourself, your loved ones, or maybe just a really, really good friend. So thank you to those companies. If you guys are looking to get into armor, if you're looking to get into some adjacent solutions for your weapon systems, head over to 100 Concepts. And as always, Custom Night Vision, big supporter of what we do here, you guys. And man, night vision is one of those things. Maybe we can just start there. You know, we can start with night vision in the culture. It's become so much more accessible in the last 10 years, really. You can, and I can say this confidently, because around 10 years ago was when I was first getting into some of this stuff. I mean, it was 9 years ago, and you weren't seeing civilians run around with night vision the way that they are now. I mean, maybe you see some guys who were really invested in things, right? And they're running a PVS-14 on a bump helmet. And sometimes, you know, if you see some of the older pictures of like people like Lucas Botkin, who was just very prominent on YouTube at the time, this is predating, right, Instagram, because Instagram's really become the whole platform of, not only the platform of record, but, I mean, man, you can go back several years on Instagram if you try hard enough, and you can find, you know, information on who was running what, and who used to have this and that, and all that kind of good stuff. But night vision used to be something that you really couldn't get great access to. There weren't a lot of like extra units floating around. You could get your hands on some contract units, some overrun stuff, some secondhand items. But for the most part, like a lot of things, you know, 10 years ago, they weren't out on the market yet. So DTNVSs were yet to be released, and a lot of guys run those, right? I don't believe the 31s were out yet, you know, and those are very common and very popular among the special operations community. Or if they were around, they had just released to the market, so they were really, the contract was really going to service the United States military, and almost nobody out on the civilian side had them unless they had a ton of money to throw at it. So we see a ton more people in the last decade getting access to night vision, and certainly companies like Custom Night Vision are to thank for that. They're facilitating a lot of that through their retail business. Now, the questions, and this is going to tie into a bigger point within what we're talking about here within culture, right? And culture is a representation of like an individual interpretation of beliefs, is kind of the one way you can look at that. Night vision plays into it because, and you get a lot of different, some of you guys are going to jump to some immediate thoughts when we start talking about this. You get some personalities out there, you know, using these to take pictures at gas stations, and it's all about the drip and it's all about the vibe. And that's cool. Like having night vision, you should go do whatever you want with it. It's a huge financial step. It's a large commitment that some people honestly never really get to make or can never really afford to make. And a lot of people, they buy it now because of those photos. They buy it because, you know, oh, look how cool this looks, you know, wearing a helmet with your night vision. You're sitting, I don't know, at a Buc-ee's in the middle of nowhere, which that part, like, I think I like the idea of that more than I actually like the reality of that. You know, it's just fun to do whatever you can with the night vision because you can see in the dark and it looks cool and people like seeing those photos because you have something that a lot of people don't have. However, from a practical application of that solution, that tool, right? Man, like those people that are out there taking those photos, I do wonder from an overall perspective, if that's all they do with those devices. You know, do you just take goofy, and I've taken some goofy photos. You guys probably saw the one we posted recently. I mean, shit, we piled four grown men in a bathtub and turned on a red light and turned on our night vision. And, you know, the blue eyes really popped against that red lighting and stuff. And it was, you know, we did it as a goof while we were kind of on our HTA trip. It's a good time. All right, I'm not going to deny anybody the right to do that. I mean, and by all means, you should go out of your way to go ahead and do stuff like that. But the flip side of this is then we have people on, I don't want to say the more reasonable side because that's kind of disrespectful, but, you know, you have people going out there saying, you know, don't go take gay night vision photos. And I'm sure a lot of you guys know what I'm talking about and who I'm talking about, because to them, night vision is a tool to be applied to the overall endeavor of personal preparedness and personal development, growing your skill sets, right? If you're going to be taking photos and doing things like that, creating media, creating content, it should be while you are learning to do things with that night vision. So whether it's learning to drive, it could be learning to walk, toss objects, but, you know, play catch back and forth with each other. I know there's a couple training companies out there that they build those administrative tasks into their night vision curriculum, because it can be such a steep learning curve when you start to get into using the device effectively. But, you know, driving, shooting, walking, hiking, right? Those are the things you, you know, quote unquote, should be doing with your night vision device. And then you get a lot of people to do that, right? I think the true answer to it should lie somewhere in the middle, if we're being honest with ourselves, right? If you spend, you know, conservatively $7,000 on a decent set of bino tubes, right? Or maybe it doesn't have to be that. It could be $3,500 or $3,600 on a single tube. That's $3,600. Like, most of the vehicles that I bought myself in the early parts of my life didn't cost that much money. I know my first like three cars did not cost that much money. And I think the fourth vehicle, the last one I bought before I got like a brand new car, just barely cost more than that. So it's a good chunk of change. And obviously the economy sucks. We're all working really, really hard to save money for those extra, what some people might consider extravagant purchases, right? So I don't want to take that away from anyone, but I do think that if you're going to own something like that, you owe it to yourself for the personal, like the financial investment you made, to then also have like that personal investment in it. You know, how capable can you be with it? You bought it, right? Like, did you bother to think what you were going to do with it after the fact? Or did you just buy it for the drip on the Instagrams? Cause that's a reasonable question. I think that if you have this stuff, and again, we can take it, let's take it even just beyond the night vision, look at plate carriers, look at helmets, some of the rifles and lasers and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a huge financial step for a lot of people. The stuff is very, very expensive. But what we end up kind of getting into is you have folks that are actually in pursuit of true preparedness. And then you have people that are building this internet clout to grow a following and leverage that following into a business endeavor. And certainly, right, we can see those two things kind of intersecting, right, where you can do both to an extent. I think probably the best example of that is probably the guys over at Forward Observations Group, because their marketing is their training, or their training is their marketing. I don't know which way you want to look at it, but the videos they post are of them doing, you know, reps clearing. One of them apparently was a high school here in Michigan. It was Brandon High School, doing like a Save the President drill with sim rounds and stuff and building clearing, or they're working through shoot houses. They're working on things like, breaching and stuff like that. And it's, you know, like, cool. That is their marketing. And then they're able to sell some things like some shirts, sell some things like hats. They did go develop, you know, the Roll One pouch with Faro Concepts. And honestly, because of the culture, because of the impact they've had in that regard, while also pursuing, right, overall effectiveness, overall preparedness, right, they have been able to kind of, what am I trying to say here? They've been able to promote their business and kind of walk that line between the two sides of it. A lot of people make a lot of decisions now based off of what they see these guys run in terms of gear and kit. You know, I have to go out and get my FCPC. I have to go out and run whatever riser I saw, or I have to go get an EOTech, or, you know, whatever. I mean, pick it, right? And then that's kind of where things get dangerous, though. Not literally, but you get to this point where you have people that are, they are observing the, I don't know, their favorite influencer. They're observing this group. Maybe it's a guy, right? It could be one person, right? It could be Mike Jones, right? It could be Lucas Botkin. It could be the guy from John Lovell at Warrior Poet Society. It could be the guys from GBRS Group, right? There's like some fairly prominent names within the ecosystem, right? And that's looking at guys who are kind of on one side of things. That's not even taking into consideration some of these other content creators, people like Black Rambo and Demolition Ranch and stuff like that. And people, they take what they see and they want to sometimes mimic it or just do what they see them do because they see the success or they think it's fun or whatever. And these weird, these very weird cult-like followings develop behind these internet personalities. And it's not that you can't be a fan or a supporter or a believer or whatever whatever term you want to put to it, right? It's not that you can't do that or appreciate the information they put out or just find, I guess, through, you know, odd coincidence that your personal preferences or beliefs, whatever, align with what a lot of these people are saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you get these people that come up and they find this YouTube channel of whatever GunTuber or GunTubers, you know, some cases it's multiple, right? And from there, they make every decision based off of either supporting or not supporting that channel or purchases based off of that. And it's become this weird thing where, like, you'll see guys that will, I mean, they'll ruin friendships. They'll make an ass of themselves on social media and things like that. They go buy all their gear from a very specific company because it's what their favorite influencers told them to do. Not because it's, and here's the thing is I would have an easier time swallowing some of this if it was because there were certain companies out there that were guaranteed, right, to always be the best solution for whatever thing it is that you needed to buy, right? I think there's enough great plate carriers out there right now. I don't know. I don't think that there's an actual, like, best plate carrier on the market. And I think that a lot of guys who are in the know on things, they would agree with that. They would say, no, I mean, like, here's like three or five, you know, options you could choose from. You know, I mean, off the top of my head, like Spiritus LV-119, the FCPC, the Cry JPC. I'm not a huge JPC fan, but, like, yeah, it's not bad. Some of the stuff from Tier Systems, or Tier Tactical, I'm sorry. There's a bunch of options out there in terms of, like, what one would consider the best plate carrier. But then you could also take it like, hey, the best plate carrier for what? Because once you get into slick carriers, then it's a whole separate discussion. And then half of what I just rattled off there becomes a terrible choice. So it's really kind of an odd argument to get into. But yet we see people arguing over this online. And you'll see guys, they go ahead and they cling to that company. And some of these companies now, you know, they've gotten very, very good at predicting a lot of this behavior. And as a result, now they're kind of playing into this culture war. So they're developing and producing, right, an entire line of gear. And you are now, it's almost like gang colors in a way, you know, because you will see guys that do this, like, they will go buy everything from T-Rex Arms. They got to have the AC-1. The AC-1 is the true ultimate civilian plate carrier. I've heard that before. And, you know, when I think about it, I was like, yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I think Lucas is a pretty strong representation of the average prepared citizen to a degree. I think sometimes he does some things that are, like, not, you know, I don't know that we're all building out super expensive long distance guns, but he also does a lot of stuff that is super relevant. So you got to take the good with the bad with anyone. He's a really convenient example because he's very prominent in the community, but he himself is not necessarily the point. The people that have this weird obsession with him and his company and their gear are what I'm specifically referencing here because. And even he has said this, like, I'm pretty sure when I watched the video when they released the AC-1, was don't go out, if you have a JPC from Cry, and, you know, like I just said a minute ago, like, I don't really love Cry, or I don't love the JPC. Even Lucas came out and said, don't go sell your Cry JPC to buy one of these. Like, keep that, run it. This is a very specific use case carrier. And yet you still have people that are out there and they're advocating for this purely because this is what T-Rex made. They like the T-Rex videos. They don't like anybody that is oppositional or in, what am I trying to say here? Like, they have an opposing point of view on something, no matter how like important or silly it may be. They side with T-Rex like with that identity, right? They identify themselves and define their own personality and their scope of individual preparedness based purely off of what that company does, what that company's employees do, and then they buy everything from them. So whether or not there's better options on the market, they went out, they got the AC1, and they're convinced that that's the best solution out there because you can, oh, well, you know what? You can put placards on it, okay? And if you need more, you can put your chest rig on over it. It's like, okay, not great, but, you know, serviceable. And I'm going to go get this belt from them. Then they got a new belt, so I'm going to go buy that one. And it's like, okay, at some point, you know, do you think that maybe it's worth exploring other well-made products out there on the market? Because I'm sure there are better ones out there for at least one of those things. And anybody thinks that one company, and this could be in any line of business, in any market, right? Anybody thinks that one company has it completely figured out, you're insane. Because that's actually the one thing that most companies don't want. Because without that competition, it doesn't breed innovation in the marketplace and you get oversaturated pretty quickly and then you stop making money. So it's kind of problematic when you don't see those other businesses start to have at least some level of competitive success. But that's kind of outside the scope of what we're talking about. So we see this like weird, I don't know, it's a division within this culture and it gets to be potentially damaging when you're looking at some of the directions that some of these people, I mean, and it could be very large. It could be medium-sized, even small influencers, right? There's other podcasts out there. There's small YouTube channels. There are guys that have a very limited Instagram footprint that just happen to be very large in a community and have a Discord server, right? And maybe that's how they get their voice and their stuff out there. Or they built themselves up over Instagram and then they migrate, or it could be Instagram or YouTube, right? And they migrated themselves off of the platform onto something like Patreon. Shout out, by the way, we have a Patreon page. If you guys would like to support us, we would love to have your support, but I digress. The pages that really felt the squeeze and the shadow ban and things like that on platforms like Instagram moved to Patreon. They put up a paywall. So now because there's that paywall, they have less followers, but they're making money off of it, which was, I guess, at some point in all of it, that was the main goal anyway for a lot of these pages. But they have this weird, this cult-like following, and you will find that these individuals will cling to the every word of those people. I mean, like, you'll see people that are silent, and they're moving and working in silent agreement with some like gnarly shit, like some religious perversion. That's always great, right? We love that when people take Christianity, or really it could be any religion, but it's usually Christianity. And I say this as somebody who is Catholic, and they pervert it. They say all kinds of heinous shit. They treat people like complete crap, and they hide behind some, you know, miscellaneous or erroneous Bible verse that they interpret in their own way, because nobody speaks in the way that the Bible is written anymore, right? And that they use that as a weird justification. You get a bunch of weird racist crap going on because that's, you know, just how they roll. That's how they do business. And it develops this weird cult following that then takes those people. They group together, right? They find each other, if you will, out in the wilderness of sorts. And that is, they follow that leader, you know, whatever they say, whatever gear that they push, whatever. I mean, it could be as stupid as what color gear should I buy? And you will see people that go out of their way. They take a loss on some very good gear to buy whatever camo color or gear color, right, that they're told that they, you know, should have. And here's the thing is that as time has gone on, not every one of these, but a lot of these large influencers, they now have their own brands feeding into this retail machine. So I think, again, I'll reference Lucas here because he was kind of, he's not the, obviously not the first gear business out there, but he's become that like prototypical model that people look at and say, look at this person started as an influence within the community, a voice within the community running nothing of his own other than a holster. Cause that's where T-Rex started. If you guys are, you know, fresh enough to this whole discussion, T-Rex Arms started as a Kydex holster company. now they offer belts and now they offer carriers and chest rigs, and they sell, you know, some companies optics, and they're working on a deal with Shadow Systems, I guess, to get their own Glock slide and everything. But it wasn't, they didn't like come onto the scene like that. But people take that as a template and they've run with it because they've seen that that's how the community reacts. So you do see companies like Onward Research, which is the Grand Thumb brand, albeit they have not pushed and created product in the way that some other companies have. I think a great example, you know, truthfully, is GBRS, you know, SEALs, right? DJ and Cole, right? They started, and I was actually really excited. I say this because I was really excited when they came onto the scene. I think that their particular, like, vibe, if you will, and their particular brand of content, I really, really got excited about. You guys know that I'm big on CQB and stuff. So when it seemed like you had some tier one individuals that were willing to peel back the curtain, sort of, in some of that early content to talk about like how they set up their rifles. And it's not, you know, hey, this is exactly how I set my shit up in the military, where you're like, you know, hey, I have a absolute height, old as shit, you know, EOTech with an old ass light, and I run a 20 inch because that's what I, you know, learned on. Like, no, these guys, I remember their carbine video. I still go back and rewatch it because it's like, hey, this is the BCM I run. You know, I changed up this barrel and the buffer system. And like, I don't know, there was just something authentic about it. And maybe that was the key to it, but it was the authenticity behind the overall presentation. And now they have their own belts, they have their own sling, they have their modular chest rig system they came out with. They've had collaborations with some other companies, and you know, and you have people that buy into that. They chase after that. They sign up for the Patreon to get, you know, access to the content. And I'm a very big fan of all the guys over at Orion Training Group, but you know what, Jared and those guys, they have that model themselves with, I mean, albeit less gear, but they have a Patreon. You know, you want to buy into what they're doing. I mean, they are a training company. It's buying into what a training company is doing. I will say is a little bit different than just a retail company, because the training company, you're actually by definition wanting to get information from them. You give them money, they teach you. That's how it works. So the medium is, I will say the medium is somewhat irrelevant. I'll say the medium is irrelevant. So whether it's a phone call, a Zoom call, a video recorded on a Patreon, YouTube channel, which I love, Orion's YouTube, or their actual physical classes, which same thing with GBRS Group, they do a lot of the same things. Like, it works. However, going back to the overarching point of this, man, is that they develop these cult-like followings where anything these people say and do is treated as gospel, like it is, you know, etched into stone and you can't disagree with it. And at some point, a lot of this just turns into brand hyping. You know, it's kind of like the same way you get people who are, they wait in line for the gear drops online and stuff, are the same people that wait in line for the shoe drops at the Nike store or whatever. Like, they got to get the new special edition of the Air Force Ones or the Jordans or, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, you can only wear, and this is, I never got the whole sneakerhead thing. I'm not trying to judge on it. I'm just saying I never understood it, because it's like, kind of like with gear and guns and everything else and stuff, is like, you can only wear one pair of shoes at a time. And even acknowledging the fact that you have to have different footwear for different applications. So like casual shoes, going to work shoes, going out shoes, wedding/funeral shoes, like whatever. Like most men, I mean, I grew up, I only really ever had two or three pairs of shoes. Like I had tennis shoes. I had in high school, then you got like a casual pair of shoes. It was a little bit nicer. And then you had your dress shoes. And if it didn't, and you just had to make every outfit and occasion kind of fit into one of those three when you were a child, instead of casual shoes, you had like slip-ons or sandals or something for the summer months, right? So it's what's weird about it is that because we lose through all of this, right? Through all this stuff, and it's actually what makes me giggle, because Jared and Jason from Orion, they do make fun of me, and you know, they say the, you know, tell me what to buy, daddy type stuff and everything, because people just want to know what gear they're run, and any influencer, right? Tell me what the gear is, so I'll go out and buy the gear. I'll go out and have the same thing that you have. Like, it kind of, there's some weird expectation that it's going to bring with it some enhanced performance or improved personal capability or something. And sometimes, certainly, if you are really upgrading, so if you're rocking your very first plate carrier you ever bought before you knew anything, and then you go buy like a Faro FCPC, yeah, you're going to be better for that thing. Like that it's a great system. And maybe whatever weird Condor or worse that you bought off Amazon because you truly didn't know any better, but you didn't want to spend more money until you just literally ran that thing until it fell apart. Yeah. The quality in the product alone is going to be a step up and an enhancement. It's going to be more comfortable. You're probably going to be able to carry more weight or carry more weight in a better way or something like that. But just switching from Spiritus to Faro, you're not going to see a big jump. So you really should, in my opinion, rather than flocking to these different points of influence and defining your whole persona based off of a complete and total stranger. You know, there are guys I know that they go straight to the skinny jeans and the Vans, and they, run, whatever plate carrier, they see the guys from GBRS running, and it's like, okay, I mean, do you really like Vans shoes? Like, if you do, cool, but are you just doing that because you've seen the West Coast Navy SEAL guys do that? Because I've also seen guys that insist on wearing like boots, not like hiking boots or army combat boots or anything like cowboy style boots, because that's what they wear, on the show SEAL Team on CBS and stuff. And it's like, okay, I do kind of question, your rationale and your logic. Do you think that people are going to perceive you in a different way? Because, operationally speaking, that's not going to make you any fucking better. And I remember actually getting into an argument at one point because somebody wanted to wear cowboy boots and go run CQB drills in that. And I made that individual go change into tennis shoes. It, fucking terrible, threw a fit, didn't like it. It's like, why? Because you saw somebody else do this? It's a terrible idea. There's absolutely nobody who's ever been operational or effective in any regard that would say that you should go wear your freaking roach stompers into a shoot house environment. It's just, it's a stupid idea. But you're blending, and that's the problem with this cult following shit within our community or within our ecosystem, is that you start to blur the lines. You start to blend these different ideas, this outward representation of what's done on casual time with what's done on work time, and it comes together, and now you have something that doesn't work at all. You have two ideas that kind of work that turn into one idea that absolutely doesn't fucking work, and none of it is really ends up being conducive to overall effectiveness. When we talk about a lot of this stuff, you guys, the point here is to be more capable, right? It's to be a better prepared citizen. And that can still be true if you have prior military service. It can still be true if you have time in law enforcement. And we're seeing that more and more, right? Where guys have 4 to 10 years at most in law enforcement, and they get out and they go find their civilian life. Because law enforcement in today's day and age just isn't for them. These things can still be true with that kind of background, as well as, just a completely civilian background. This is supposed to be about building yourself up and being effective. And so that doesn't mean you have to go full militant with it. You don't have to, jump into cry pants for everything and, multicam this and multicam that. Like, there is a good compromise gray area, I think, on a lot of this stuff. I just feel like there's such a giant miss, culturally speaking, and people are afraid to acknowledge it. Because there could be some financial implication to it, but because you have to then come out in the open and acknowledge, like, yeah, I've kind of been a little bit of a fucking poser about why I'm doing this stuff. And we all have some of those moments because we have people we look up to. We have certain styles and things that we like to emulate. And I'm not trying to crap on any of that by any means. Okay. I'm just trying to point out that for some people, you need to evaluate what you're doing and have an honest conversation. Like, am I just doing this for the photos and the internet drip? And a lot of the times, it's all it ends up being. It doesn't even lead to like a strong following and business dealings where you're benefiting in some tangible way. You're literally just doing it. And if that's what makes you happy, like, cool. Just understand you're missing so much there's so much there that you could benefit from, and there's so much opportunity that you are just completely ignoring because you're only consumed with what looks cool on the internet. That's why I never understood these guys that spend all this money on like that splatter. It's like black with paint splatter, camo print. Guys will spend, you know, $500 on whatever their favorite carrier is in that camo pattern and then go get limited release stuff or custom order. Even if you're, you know, maybe you go to somebody like Dan over at Dynamic Principles and say, hey man, this is the pattern I want. Can you get that fabric? And, well, yeah, we can get it. It's going to be a custom job though. Like, I don't care, 'cause I really like the way it looks. And that's the kind of thing where we have those cultural pieces of separation where stuff like that, or odd camouflages like Flecktarn, or maybe one of those guys like, hey, you put a bunch of pictures on Instagram of you and your homies in ski masks rocking some AKs and shit because of the drip. And we talked at the very beginning here about the public's perception of our community and of people like us. And this all kind of comes around full circle and comes back to the point it brings us back to that point of how the public, people who are not involved in this ecosystem, right, how they perceive, in a lot of ways, it's gun owners in general, but they perceive this community. If you guys remember several years ago, I believe it was when Trump got elected in like 2016, and like the Boogaloo Boys or whatever, you know, hashtag goonin, you're gooning or whatever, or goon crew or whatever. I don't fucking remember. Those things were actually mentioned on national news. People that were rocking Hawaiian shirts with plate carriers over them because it was some internet trend, some internet fad, and it attracted a lot of attention. I remember coming back, my parents went out to my cousin or second cousin, went out to her wedding in Grand Rapids. So if you guys aren't familiar with how Michigan is laid out, Detroit is basically in the far southeast corner of the state, not like the very bottom corner. We're about an hour or so from Ohio. Grand Rapids is basically in that similar spot, but on the opposite side of the state. They're 3 or 3.5 hours away from us. It's not a terrible drive, and Grand Rapids isn't a terrible city, but, you know, whatever. My cousin got married out there, and my parents went out, and they actually had the opportunity during the wedding to sit down and have a conversation with her and see how things were going, because, you know, now newlywed and everything. And oddly, one of the things that my cousin had felt the need to point out was they were concerned with how things were going to be in the area because of the Boogaloo Boys. And I go, what? And my mom said it to me, and she asked me what it was. And I go, that's the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard. Even then, right? Even, what is it, 8 years ago, I was, you know, like, listen, it's not, those aren't really the people you have to be afraid of. They're not the ones out there, you know, trashing shit in the street and quote unquote peacefully protesting. But the public perception, because no one ever takes the time to read into the hype behind certain cultural pockets within the 2A community. People on the out, they don't give a shit. They just understand what appears to be menacing and appears to be threatening. And some of you guys are probably going to be listening to this right now, and you're going to say, well, good, they should be fucking afraid. Good, we want them to, you know, fear us. Good, put some respect on my name. And it's like, man, I think you might be missing the whole fucking point here, because our rights as Americans, especially in regards to access to firearms and training and information and things like that, are more under attack now than they've ever been. And that should not be news to anybody. Like, seriously, nobody listening to this right now should have that come to them as a surprise. And I don't think there is anyone who's surprised by that. But when we're talking about trying to win, I guess it's really, we're trying to win hearts and minds, trying to get people to believe that we as lawful gun owners and in our individual communities of lawful gun owners, and I'm not going to say preppers, because that just carries like just the absolute worst connotation lined in tinfoil that you could possibly get, right? But when you're talking about trying to win those hearts and minds, get people to really understand, like, we're not bad people. We're not weirdos. We're not mostly weirdos. We are just individuals who have a greater value in personal accountability and are willing to protect our families. I think you can kind of distill it down to those two main points with a lot of things, not to oversimplify it. But the perception of the culture leads to misunderstandings, misinformation, And people, and it's funny because we see it all the time in the news talking about minority populations and minority cultures in the United States. So you have these people out here screaming that Sharia law should be allowed in this state. Sharia law should be allowed in this country because it's those individuals' right to practice their own culture and their own beliefs. Which for the most part, I'm in complete support of, except for the fact that there's some things in that law that I have a huge problem with, primarily around the like stoning of women and stuff for weird, infractions against that law. I'm not super well read on it. I just know that I don't agree with it. I would not want to live in a community where it was allowed to be enforced as law. You know, and that's just a great example of the misunderstandings from outside perceptions of culture. So, you know, I like the hype. I like the drip that comes with some of the 2A stuff. You know, it's fun. The content is great to look at. It looks, the photography work, like it's so cool to see how many people out there in the community, right, have taken the time not only to learn how to work a camera, but really invest in the equipment and put out better looking content and things. And that right there, you know, kind of does help bridge the gap of sorts. It does help people with like a soft landing in the community when you see this artwork, really, you know, photography artwork, then you see some drawings and things like that. And people go, you know, what is that? It asks questions. It starts opening those doors, which then opens people's, I guess it's really like their minds to the idea of what this community could offer them. And then that's how we do start eventually attracting new people kind of into the 2A community overall. And at that point, then it's up to the individual kind of where they end up settling, who they end up kind of like following or aligning with. And some people don't like, it's cool when you actually see people that come into this community and they take a little bit of everything and then move on. You know, they don't cling to one certain point of influence or one center of influence, I should say. There's a lot of people that do, you know, that the whole strength in numbers thing, everybody wants to find their tribe. And it gets very weird when you see the kinds of people and where they fall in alignment for a lot of that stuff, you know. And I encourage you guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, or maybe you don't really understand, maybe take a look at some of the big influencers' pages online, and then, I don't know, maybe just read the comment section. Like, and don't just find one where everybody's, you know, like, oh, this looks so cool, this is awesome, or, you know, don't go find like a product drop thread, but find one that's actually fairly controversial to some degree. However important it actually is or isn't is completely erroneous, but see the reactions. See the way people treat each other, the way they interact with each other, the kind of messaging and language that's used. And you will very quickly start to figure out for yourself why this is somewhat concerning. And, you know, if you're somebody who's been in this community any amount of time, and you've experienced different circles, you've experienced different, you know, like, you won't have to, because you know, you already know what I'm talking about. You know how bad this shit gets, how weird it is. And then go take a class, do the things that these tools were actually designed to do. Go shooting, go take a training class, learning how to clear structures or move through the woods as an effective unit, or go take a comms class somewhere, go take a stop the bleed class, right? We all run medical on our kit. No one ever fucking uses it. I mean, God willing, you don't ever use it, but no one ever takes time to train with it. You have it on your belt basically so your buddies can't give you shit for running an empty med kit. But, you know, are you running that role one because you like the convenience of how you can access your medical, or are you running the role one because, you know, Forward Observations made it and they all run it in their videos? And it's like, there are people who literally go buy that shit because they saw them run it. They don't know what it's for. They keep snacks in it or something, you know, or gloves or whatever instead of actual medical supplies, because it's not big enough to be a complete med kit. I don't know. But that's a real thing. It exists out there. I've had those kinds of encounters. But at any rate, go to classes. You'll be surprised the kind of people that you meet. You know, as great as it would be to go through something like a 3-day CQB class, okay, which I did almost 5 months ago now. It's been 5 months. Beginning of May, went to the Orion Training Group class, and I was like, you know what, this is cool. It filled up really quickly. You know, even when they had a couple people drop out, those spaces backfilled equally as quickly. So this should hopefully then, right, have been a bunch of like super squared away, you know, individuals that are, they're here, they're ready to get after it. They're motivated. You know, this should be just like, you know, 16 people who are all on the same page. And that's not how it was. It's not to say anything bad about anybody. It's just that you get people to come in. Some are at a much different skill level than others are. And it was like that with my HTA course last weekend or the weekend before last. And it was like that with the HTA class last year. You always have a wide range of personalities, of individual cultural beliefs. I mean, it can be like literally, you know, we had some Jewish people in class that we learned quite a bit about. And I still have to ask those questions. Like, John has explained kosher to me several times. And I'm just, it's like in one ear and out the other. And some about a cloven hoof. And I apologize, John, when you're listening to this. But, you know, I really would urge people to consider, you know, are you running gear from somebody because of just that's just who, you know, you follow them and they do whatever they tell you? Or do you make do you prioritize yourself individually by what you want to learn, how capable and effective you want to be, and then go out and buy the best tool that's going to empower you and enable you to reach that goal? Because here's the thing, if your biggest concern is home defense, like literally you don't care about small unit tactics, you don't really care about CQB or radios or anything, you just want to be as well prepared as you can be as a husband, as a father, whatever, to defend your family and defend your home, cool. Then yes, a standard slick plate carrier with some armor would probably be advisable. It's going to be pretty affordable. You could probably get a couple different sets, you know, for you and your wife, or you, your wife and your kids or something. And that's fine, because that may be a Slickster from Faro or an AC-1 from T-Rex, or I know there's other companies that make slick carriers and I can't think of any at the moment, but that's fine. That's totally acceptable. Maybe if you're somebody who wants to be more prepared for things outside the home, right, you get something that's more load bearing, maybe a Cry AVS system, as expensive and as hard to find as those things can end up being. Maybe that's where you decided that, you know, you need to be because you vetted it out. You've done your research. You've tried a couple options, right? Hey, the AC-1 wasn't a good fit for me because a backpack or a ruck, there's just too many problems with the fitment and the comfort and everything. I just needed to go with something more load bearing or designed to be load. Like, cool. All right. Do what is best for you. And again, this is how people end up getting into debt and having tremendous issues, is because they allow other men to make their decisions for them, essentially. Right? Go buy my plate carrier. Oh, go buy this plate carrier because it's better. Oh, go buy this version 2 of this plate carrier because it took some inconsequential problem for you, fixed it because of some contract or something they were trying to win. And I'm not speaking of any one company in particular, but this stuff happens, right? Where you get version 2, version 3s of things, different generations of things, like just like Glock has, you know, gen 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, right? Each time, I mean, you could pick like one or two things that are actually different, but if you're talking about your overall effectiveness and capability, a Gen 1 Glock is going to run just as well for you as a Gen 5. Yeah, the grip might be a little bit better on the 5. The trigger might be a little bit better. You got ambi controls. But like for like 90%, like it's the exact same tool to solve the exact same problem used in basically the exact same way. So do you really need to go spend the money to do that? And is spending that money to do that going to actually get you closer to your overall goal, right? And we think about this a lot in terms of when people talk about like career growth and personal development. You know, nobody ever wants to make a lateral move at work. If you do, it's purely because of your own happiness. You're not making a lateral move because it's more money. Lateral moves nowadays, they don't give you more money for moving. They tell you it's a lateral move. You're not getting a paycheck. I mean, you may go from hourly to salary. You might get a small bump, like an embarrassingly, like, disgusting small bump. And I can say that confidently. I had that happen to me. But, like, you're only doing it for your own happiness. Just like when you go from something like a Cry JPC to a Spiritus LV-119. they're very similar setups, guys. And, you know, a lot of times that, that happens, it's because, you know, whatever guys you start training with, they all run it. So you do it because you want to fit in, not because you actually need the tangible benefit, because really, especially in that discussion, you're not really gaining a tangible benefit. There's not anything that one does that the other does not also do. And kind of the same thing, even with like the Faro FCPC, like, yeah, I mean, you get side armor, side soft armor, if that's what you really like and everything. Like, I love it, but I moved for different reasons, you know, and I spent the money on it. And do I think it's made me overall more capable? No, but I'm also not the world's biggest Faro fanboy. I've had several people tell me they really like it. I've researched it for a long, long time, got a new job, had a little bit of extra money, decided, hey, I'm going to do this something nice for myself. Bingo, bango. I got a new carrier. Cool. Like, not a big deal. Really not that big of a deal. But, you know, culturally speaking, I feel like I get so scatterbrained on some of this stuff. We start going down some of these rabbit holes and everything, and it can be difficult to stay on the same track of your thinking because you think of something else. But if your plan is only to run a slick carrier over a t-shirt and jeans, understand that you're going to be somewhat limited to your overall effectiveness. If you don't know how the basic principles of camouflage work, you know, denim isn't always the best choice. Now, at a far enough distance, it's not going to fucking matter. Like, let's acknowledge that. If you're out to like 500, 600, 700 yards away from whatever opposing force, you know, like Josh mentioned when we were doing our previous discussion around the HTA range day and the precision carbine class he and Daniel took, like, yeah, at 700 yards, I mean, multicam M81, denim and flannel, it doesn't matter. But there are certain pros and cons to understanding how all of that plays together when you're trying to actually escape and evade or move and maneuver and things like that. And if your whole, I don't want to say tactical existence, I hate using the word tactical. I say that every time because it makes me fucking cringe. But if your whole tactical existence is based around, you know, skate shoes, skinny jeans, and t-shirts with, you know, whatever plate carrier your favorite influencer told you to run, and then a helmet and nods, like, you're going to be more capable than the average bear. But are you going to be operationally sound with that? Are you really going to be able to do all of the things that you want to do? I would think that in a lot of cases, if you're really trying to be more prepared, the answer is no. I'm not saying that there's not merits to that as a solution, because certainly there are. Concealability is a huge consideration, especially if you are living in a very suburban area or urban area where you want to try and blend in. Your camouflage at that point is your everyday clothing. You want to look as normal as possible to be able to get safely from point A to point B. And then, yes, when you get out into the woods and things, there's pros, cons, to benefits to multicam versus M81 versus fucking real tree or Kryptek Typhoon or whatever the hell. There's so much out there, Flectarn, and stuff like that. It's so easy but so difficult to say what I'm thinking here. And you guys know there's those different sects within the community of guys and how they split this stuff up, where it's, you know, the AK guys, and everyone likes to crap on the AK people, myself included, because I think honestly you just look like a bad guy. That's public perception. The AK-47 is the most recognized rifle in the world, and honestly it's what a lot of people consider is the flagship definition of an assault rifle, because in movies and everything, what do the bad guys always use? AK-47s. You watch the early 2000s SWAT film with Colin Farrell and Samuel L. Jackson. What are the bad guys using during the bank robbery? AK platform rifles, you know, with drum mags and body armor and ski masks. So then, of course, you know, when you see these people that go do the fucking Instagram photo shoot in their ski masks with their like Chi-Com chest rigs and their AK-47s, what reasonable person that is outside our community is going to look at that and culturally say that that's like a free and reasonable expression of personality? And they may not say that about any part of it. You know, me sitting here saying that may sound really hypocritical and douchey. And that's fine. Like, call me on my shit, you guys. You know, I'm here for it. But I think that there's a fine line to walk. And unfortunately, right now, that's where we're at. Unfortunately, we have to kind of win over hearts and minds. So, like, and this is why when people ask me, I had a buddy at a Super Bowl party 2 years ago, go, hey, I really want to get a Zastava, AK and everything. I was told that's like the best. And I go, I don't know. I don't know a ton about AKs. I couldn't really tell you what a good one or a bad one is like, short of, you know, the basic shit. Don't buy the cheapest one you can find. If you're wanting to run optics and stuff, don't go wood furniture because you're just gonna have to replace it anyway. Stuff like that. And it's a professional appearance thing. Go out. I tell people, if you're looking to buy your own, your first rifle, go buy an AR platform. If you want to go buy, you know, armor and kit, get something that looks professional. You can go with multicam. Ranger Green is fine. Coyote could be okay. You know, Wolf Gray is kind of going by the wayside. A lot of people are like, Wolf Gray was a really big deal for like a year, probably around like 2018, 2019. Again, propped up mostly by what influencers were running it, but you don't see many people running it now at all. And then that's really it. You know, if you're getting, you know, these splatter stuff, if you're getting like the weird Louis Vuitton fake material made into a plate carrier or chest rig or something, like, yeah, or you know, or any of these other like weird drippy camos, like Flecktarn, you don't look like an American that's there to do the right things in Flecktarn. You just don't. Like, it's cool and the internet loves it. And you think it's great because whatever weird, I don't know, FPS Russia or whatever, I couldn't even tell you because I don't, that's how tuned out from a lot of that side of the ecosystem I am. Like, I couldn't even tell you, but I know there's a lot of guys that think that those European camouflages are the absolute do-all, end-all of complete effectiveness. Yeah, they could work. It doesn't mean that I'm going to run it. It's just like, you know, AOR2. You know, Josh and I just had this conversation the other night. You know, hate the way it looks. It looks fucking awful until you actually put it in the context which it was designed for, and then it's effective as shit. But it's not, you know, completely perceived that way outwardly. So we as civilians have a different context and a different job to fulfill, a different role to fulfill, if you will, when we're talking about the culture war. We have to be the professionals. We have to look approachable, and we owe it to ourselves to actually be that effective individual. Because I mean, like, how many times we see people online that own the expensive gear, man, and then when you actually see videos of those people using it, running it, I think there was like a clip of Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, that was put up a week or so ago, of him walking down a range shooting a BAR, and it just looked fucking terrible. I mean, he was head to toe in tactical gear. By all means, looked like he had just been out training, and then you see him, you know, moving and shooting, and it looked like he'd never done it before. And it's fine, we all got to start someplace, but like, the perception there, when you look at that person, is, okay, should be squared away. The actual reality, very different. The opposite can be true, too. So really, I mean, hopefully this all makes sense to you guys. You know, I think culturally, we have a huge battle ahead of us with the common folks and the casual gun owners, people that are out there that are just hunting, you know, oh, I got a shotgun, I got a bolt gun, and I go out and hunt in Ranger, not Ranger Green, I was going to say, like red flannel with a orange hunter vest, you know, like grumpy old men style, you know, those people are the ones you really need to win over, because they're the ones that have been giving up all of our gun rights, because culturally you have younger people stepping in, doing some of these things, which we consider to be really cool, that outwardly are they're actually very stupid. And then you actually push people away. And then when it gets time to, you know, this time of year, actually, vote, you know, those politicians get voted into power who then take away those rights. And it's because the overall cultural perception is that we're not to be trusted. We can't be trusted. We're reckless. Our priority is to either just to have a good time and hurt people, or to have complete and total, you know, lack of regard for our fellow man. And none of that's actually true. We know that that's not the case, but the perception is everything. And, you know, and maybe we kind of shifted, you know, throughout this discussion at some point. Maybe this went from more of a public perception discussion than it did an actual like battle of cultural opinions, right? And I mean, I think that there's something to be said for all of it, really. I've said it before, like I have an AC1, and I started as that guy who was trying to be super minimal and like the embodiment of the average prepared citizen, keyword being average and citizen and minimal. that's no longer where my mind takes me. Like, I would rather be in a group of guys and be recognized as an efficient and capable part of a team where you have, you know, you are more effective. You have that level of training. You have that level of capability and performance. You're not just looking like, you know, there's a difference. There's looking like a professional of sorts, right? Whatever that for the word professional means to you. And then there's looking like a gaggle of skater bros that have plate carriers and rifles. And again, some of that stuff overlaps, but like, really, I think that we need to be very honest with ourselves when we have the conversation around what do I want out of this and what are my true goals? Not my goal, you know, for buying something, but what is my goal for myself, my overall preparedness, my well-being, my family, and how does that all play together? And where do I want to align myself both with people, right? So make connections within the industry, people that can make you better, people that you can train with that are, you know, like I said, going to make you better. Or are you going to align yourself with complete total strangers and culturally speaking, right? Put yourself at a deficit, because you are who you hang with, right? So if you want to hang out with some neo-Nazi racist pieces of trash, and they exist, for all everyone wants to say that racism is dead and it doesn't exist in the world anymore. It does. People still act like jackasses and they feel completely, you know, empowered to do so. It's really frustrating to me because to me, the way I see things is so clear and it makes a lot of sense to me. If you're truly concerned about what is yet to come in the next month and a half here, the fallout from the election, regardless of who wins, because our countrymen are insane and can't be trusted to have a logical and rational reaction to disappointment on either side, right? To say nothing of anything else, right? But just that part of it, like looking at how people reacted and behaved when Trump won the election in 2016. Oh, it's going to be the fall of democracy. Let's go run through the streets and throw bricks through McDonald's and Starbucks windows. Like, yeah, that's, it's gonna fucking help any, like that's where we're at as a country and as a overall culture right now. Do you want to invite more problems? Do you want to be seen as somebody who can help your community? You know, how do you want to be perceived? All of it kind of rolls up into one overall point. And generally, the people that take it a certain way, they take it more seriously, they do things a certain way, they are a little bit more discreet. About, you know, the people that are really about doing it, they're usually not the ones that are rubbing it in your face. I guess if I can put a very, very simple point to it, content is one thing, right? Real life is another. So hopefully what I'm saying here makes sense to you guys. Hopefully that through all of this, you know, this strikes a chord with you, and I'd love to have the conversation. You know, a lot of it is personal opinion. Some of it is perception. Some of it is personal belief, the personal acknowledgement. Like, hey, you really can do this two different ways. I think that as with a lot of things in this country, capitalism rolls into a big part of it. You know, the gear thing, we spent a lot of time talking about that. And I think it's because so much of this industry has become driven on trying to make money. Selling gear to people, selling rifles and ammo and optics and things. And to an extent, yes, selling training to people, which I think you should do all those things. I really do. I think you should go spend the money on your gear, because investing in your own personal capability is investing in yourself. And we've all seen those guys who go out and they cut every corner they can. They buy the Amazon version of all their adjacent kit, and, you know, like, the knockoff Haley flat pack, right? Like, oh, I'm not going to spend, you know, the money on the real one, so I'll just get the fake one. And then it glows under IR and you're like, okay, now you're starting to, you know, be more a detriment than anything, because you are wasting money. You're not NIR compliant. You know what you're doing. You're not serious about it. And that stuff within, you know, we have all of that rolled together into what our current existence is as a, as an ecosystem. And you have people like they take this really seriously. They go out, they seek out training. They want to tailor themselves and their abilities and things to their overall group, their team, the cause which they are all together trying to pursue, which is typically just the preservation of their own life and their family and protecting them and their home. But you're more effective as a team. So everyone specializes in things and you start to build yourselves around that team functionality and that team structure, you know, and not to sound too military about it, but, and then you got guys, I think they're just going to fucking, you know, they're the ones who are out there flying by the seat of their pants and they're all, and you can tell who it is because they're the ones that are criticizing people openly on the internet saying, great, you're just a fucking loot drop, bro. Or I don't have to get in shape or usually it's not the in shape thing. Usually they're giving people crap for not being in whatever they deem to be in shape, and saying that they aren't going to, now they don't have to invest in anything because they have other people out there that are just going to be a giant loot drop. Those are the ones you can tell they're just a-holes and they're not taking this seriously at all. They're not investing in themselves or their community. And then as a culture, it just kind of further degrades the connections that some of us are working really hard to build. So, again, if this made sense, really, really cool. I'm glad that my babbling and things make sense to you guys. If it didn't make any sense, I apologize. And if you want to reach out, I love to have like an actual conversation about it with anyone, like truly, love talking about this part of our community, because I think that once people have it kind of figured out for themselves in the right way, you'd be really, really surprised at how far you can go and how successful you can be. The things you can learn, the things you can do for yourself, right, that you didn't think were possible, or maybe just the limits that you can push and break that you didn't think was possible for you as a person, just because up till whatever point in your life you hadn't before. You know, maybe you didn't go hunting or camping as a kid, or maybe you're so new to everything that you didn't think you could get to a certain point by, you know, a certain time. I don't know. But if you guys want to have the discussion, always open to it. As always, really appreciate you guys hanging out and listening to this, because it's your support is everything to us. You know, we're pushing into the end of the year here, really ramping up for the end of 2024. It's hard to believe, you know, that the year's almost over. We got one business quarter left, 3 months. We're basically into the holidays. Once we break into October, you know, Halloween, everything. Some people, you know, go straight from Halloween into Christmas, which is shameful, but it happens, you know. Hopefully we can all take the opportunity to really take the opportunity to take advantage of the warm weather that is left, get some quality training opportunities in this fall, and yeah, you know, all good things. So again, thank you guys so much for your support. Thank you for hanging out to the end of this discussion, end of this episode. That's all I got for you guys this week. We'll be back next week. You know, great interviews, discussions, all this stuff going on here. Be safe out there, everyone. But until we speak again, like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.